boa tarde, agradeço a presença dos seus representantes da ESTA. Penso que já sabem como é que funciona, eu já penso que já estivemos juntos e penso como funciona este tipo de audiências. Terão cerca de 10 minutos para fazer a vossa apresentação, após a qual irei passar a palavra aos seus deputados. Neste momento temos connosco o seu deputado Cristóvão Crespo, do grupo parlamentar do PSD. E temos também a sua deputada Vera Rodrigues, do CDS-PP, e temos o seu deputado João Galamba, do grupo parlamentar do Partido Socialista. Portanto, desde já passava a palavra aos seus representantes da ESTA.
Sr. Presidente, com licença. A apresentação será feita por Peter van der Mark, da ESTA, em inglês. Eu farei a tradução em tempo simultâneo. A não ser... Muito bem. Obrigado. Perfeitamente. Muito bem.
Okay, good. Well, thank you very much. We very much appreciate your reply to allow us to speak before this commission. I'm Peter van der Mark. I represent the European Smoking Tobacco Association. The European Smoking Tobacco Association is made up of 51 companies and national associations throughout the European Union in the tobacco industry, producing fine-cut tobacco, also known as roll-your-own tobacco, pipe tobacco, nasal snuff, and chewing tobacco. So everything else except for cigars and cigarettes. We are based in Brussels, and we represent approximately 90% of the fine-cut tobacco market in Europe as a whole. I have brought with me two colleagues from the company, so I would like to give the word to Eva.
Thanks, yeah. My name is Eva Rippelbeck. I'm the General Manager of Imperial Tobacco in Lisbon. And why we are here and joining Peter today is because we are the market leader in fine-cut tobacco in Portugal. And with the latest proposal on taxation on fine-cut tobacco, we will have an effect on this one, and we are here as the expert to also explain to you the threats we see with the current proposal.
I left the right.
Peço disculpas anticipadamente, vou tentar de falar português, obviamente é mais portuñol que português, mas vou tentar. O meu nome é Vítor Crespo, eu sou country manager de JTI Portugal. A JTI é a terceira tabaqueira a nível mundial. Nós temos presencia en Portugal há moitos anos já. Somos a segunda compañía en cigarros en Portugal e somos a terceira compañía en tabaco de corte fino en Portugal. E somos, como Peter ten explicado, membros da ESTA e, obviamente, seguimos moito de cerca todos os desenvolvimentos, tanto de cigarros como tabaco de corte fino e outras categorías.
So, besides the two companies, we represent also many small and medium-sized companies, not Portuguese ones, but definitely ones in other countries who are actually also selling on the Portuguese market. Again, I would like to thank you for allowing us to speak. We made a presentation for you. We try to keep this bit as short as possible. But I would like to start to explain that last year we were here already, and we had a discussion, or at least the opportunity to explain our position then. Unfortunately, we were not able to convince the government or you of our story. And I must say is that when we look back, some of the effects we had predicted were perhaps less felt this year than we had predicted. And there are several reasons for that. Some of the reasons relate to actually the illicit trade, which we cannot really predict entirely. What we also call is the sell-through in the market, namely that products priced at a different level are still in the market today, not taking into account the excise increase, as well as that there are alternative products on the market today which weren't that heavy involved when we spoke. So that increase in excise, which we predicted to have quite a significant impact, still, if we look over the 2 years when the excise increases have taken place, as you can see at the last bar, it says minimum. It went from 75 in 2012 to 120 in 2014. In those two consecutive increases, we see still a tremendous loss in volume in fine-cut tobacco of 53%. In itself, you could argue, well, that is just a choice, that has just happened. But on top of that, we also believe that actually it has not resulted in a excise income gain for the government to offset the negative effects on the market. De facto, the excise revenues decreased with 8.3% over that same period for fine-cut tobacco, rather than that they increased. So when we were asked to come, when we looked today, or last week or 2 weeks ago, at the new government proposal, and we saw that the minimum excise tax for fine-cut tobacco would be set higher than the minimum excise tax for cigarettes, we were quite worried, particularly taking into account the road which was already behind us, namely coming from 75 all the way up to 120, which is also a huge increase in itself. On top of that, and we are bringing it to the table today, the European institutions adopted the Tobacco Products Directive this year on the 20th of May, and it will enter into force on the 20th of May 2016. A crucial part of the directive for excise-related purposes is the minimum weight of a package of roll-your-own tobacco has been set at 30 grams. In Portugal, we see packaging weights of 12 to 15 grams, which of course, if you calculate that, has a lesser price to it for a consumer, so the out-of-pocket price for a consumer is relatively lower. If we have to set that at 30 grams, then we have a serious issue, and we actually put that out on the screen so that you can see that, that if you calculate it, it would be a €6.60 price. Now, in itself, again, you could say, well, that's the case, that's what happens. We believe that this price really pushes the economic envelope in such a way that the consumer, the normal roll-your-own fine-cut consumer in Portugal, who doesn't have a lot of money but still would like to smoke and takes the decision to smoke, will not be able to actually afford a legal alternative to cigarettes. Those people, what we normally see is that they don't trade up back to cigarettes, they will actually trade down into other products and most likely into illegal, illegally or non-duty paid, not domestic duty paid products. So that's in principle the story we have to tell. It's in a lot of the slides. Here you can see what will be proposed on the table, 135 for fine cut, 127 for cigarettes. We simply do not understand why this is proposed, and we do not understand why it is necessary, because fine-cut tobacco has an entirely different properties to it than factory-made cigarettes. It's not a luxury good. We will come back to that later. But this will be felt. So this is, if you go to the next one. Here you can see the drop over the years, 2011 to 2012 to 2013. And now an estimate based on October figures, so up to October figures. So we don't think that this time will be far off. And we think that there will be a similar decrease in 2015. But these are, you know, this is in from our perspective, not a good picture. In other countries where we see this, you can see where Portugal is today. It's in red, 96% percentage of tax for fine cut compared to cigarettes, and where fine cut will be in the proposal at 106, and therefore Portugal goes all the way up to the front. The top runner in this paragraph is Greece, where we have seen a huge increase as well, and we unfortunately see a lot of illicit trade, the market of fine cut collapsing. As a result, the illicit trade and the raw tobacco trade being quite growing in Greece. This is, in principle, explaining a comparison like for like in the price. 2013 cigarettes, 390. Fine cut will suddenly jump to 475 in 2015 and therefore overtakes cigarettes. We will come back again to why they should be treated differently. filter cigarette lows for 2015, you see the price increase as well. And we think that all those three measures, all the increases which are being proposed, will have one effect: no longer down trading as in 2014 from cigarettes to fine cut to filter cigarillos, but actually directly from fine cut to illicit trade, from cigarettes to illicit trade, and even from filter cigarillos probably to illicit trade, all to a lesser extent, but definitely down trading will happen. This is what we predict in terms of fiscal receipts. Like we said, there was already a decrease in income from fine cut tax with 8.3%. We actually expect this to be next year, and this is a conservative estimate, 15.5% to the worth of almost 18 million euros. Compared to cigarettes, that is not a lot, you would say, but I would say that every money is needed. And we simply fail to understand that since the effects were known from 2013-14, that why the same route is followed for 2015 with yet another reduction in receipts, as well as probably destroying the fine cut market beyond repair. And then we have the final two slides. I think it's a lot of text, but in short, there is a reason why fine cut is in the market. Fine cut is a legal alternative for cigarettes. It is a product which sometimes is smoked out of tradition, out of cultural tradition. It is a product which always, ever since, has been cheaper than factory-made cigarettes, because factory-made cigarettes are final products, and fine-cut tobacco still needs to undergo a process by rolling it or putting it in a filter, and there additional elements need to be bought, such as the rolling paper, etc. It is a product which is often associated with people who have less disposable income, and now the less disposable alternative, the less expensive alternative is priced out of the market. I really would like to reiterate the tax-bearing capacity is what we call this element, which I just explained, but it has a very significant buffer function. In many markets, we see that illicit trade is relatively under control when there is a price differential between, or out-of-pocket price differential between fine-cut tobacco and cigarettes, so that a legal alternative is there. Finally, I think there's one more slide which explains it a bit better, but finally I would like to say ESTA, and I think the industry in general, is not against taxation or excise increases. What we very much worry about is when there are excise hikes, or when the excise increases go past what we call the normal Lafferkurve, and consumers simply have no other choice than actually look for alternatives, which the illegal version is the worst one. It is one of the reasons why we are actually here, is that we believe that in Portugal you definitely already reached that stage, and if it would go further, the category will simply no longer be in existence. I think you have seen the huge drop, and the volumes are very low. This is not uncommon. We have seen this in two or three other markets as well. However, in markets where we as the industry or the local industry work together with the government and develop plans for a long-term 5-year, sometimes 3-year plan of moderate but consistent excise increases, you can see that it doesn't distort the market, so no distortion of the internal market competition in the tobacco industry. And also it safeguards actually the income for the government and therefore combats the illicit trade. Germany is a primary example where we are currently renegotiating as the industry in Germany a new 5-year plan for moderate but continuous tax increases, which give certainty to the government, but they also give certainty to the industry and to the consumer. So I plead on you, please.
Obrigada pela apresentação que nos foi efetuada. Eu agora passaria a palavra aos seus deputados dos grupos parlamentares. Vera. Sr. Deputada Vera Rodrigues.
Muito obrigada. Prefere que fale em inglês ou percebe em português? Sim? Ok, já que estamos no Parlamento Nacional. Bom, dizer de facto da parte das empresas que estão associadas a esta indústria, têm sido inúmeras as solicitações de audiência, o que se compreende na medida em que estão a desempenhar o vosso papel. Chamou-nos especialmente a atenção o facto de fazerem aqui uma referência, que obviamente faz todo sentido na vossa linha de argumentação, que é a alteração que é proposta em termos de imposto acabar por onerar ou sobrecarregar mais o tabaco de corte fino em detrimento daquilo que são os cigarros normais. Confesso que fiquei com curiosidade de perceber porque este montante e esta diferenciação, não necessariamente por ser sensível ao argumento de que é a população, digamos, com menores rendimentos que opta por fumar este tipo de tabaco, porque de facto, enfim, há aqui um princípio de proteção e defesa da saúde pública que, do meu ponto de vista, preside e estará, digamos assim, no topo das razões que justificam a que haja aqui uma sobrecarga relativamente ao tabaco e, portanto, por uma razão de saúde pública, e nesse sentido eu creio que o Governo obviamente está tão preocupado em proteger as classes que têm menores recursos e menores rendimentos, quanto estará em proteger as que têm mais recursos. De qualquer maneira, dizer que sendo sensíveis, digamos assim, à vossa linha de argumentação, eu pelo menos fiquei com a curiosidade de perceber porque este nível de diferenciação em termos de taxa de imposto, mas não tinha exatamente uma questão para vos colocar, mas agradecer a vossa apresentação, que obviamente contribui também para o nosso esclarecimento e para o debate que vai ser feito sobre o Orçamento de Estado e para eventuais propostas que venham a ser apresentadas.
Como estamos num Parlamento a ser gravado, vou falar em português. E a pergunta é se tem uma ideia de qual é a produção nacional de cigarros normais e a produção nacional de tabaco fine cut.
Antes de responderem, temos mais uma questão do Sr. Deputado Cristóvão Carinho, depois fazem as respostas em conjunto, está bem? Obrigado.
Obrigado. Uma primeira palavra para cumprimentar os representantes da ESTA, portanto, e dar nota que, de facto, já tivemos vários contactos, portanto, eu penso que este é um setor, não sendo consensual na sociedade, mas importante e fundamental portanto, nestas questões. Portanto, tal como vem sendo o hábito, também trazem uma informação quantificada, qualificada, portanto, dar-vos essa nota, portanto, por norma trazem-nos sempre essa informação preparada, trazem-nos propostas, portanto, e os impactos das propostas que trazem, portanto, sublinhar esse aspecto. Portanto, aqui, conforme já percebi, tanto deste ano como no próximo ano, portanto, a fiscalidade é determinante. Portanto, eu penso que aqui a fiscalidade é determinante em termos dos consumos, ao fim e ao cabo, a fiscalidade acaba por conduzir também ela própria os consumos, portanto, não tendo assim nenhuma questão em concreto, mas era também um pouco confirmarmos de facto, os aspectos são estes, de facto, a fiscalidade pode ser, digamos assim, uma fonte de equilíbrio entre as diferentes... Os diferentes tipos de produtos, portanto, porque é um leque muito alargado que vai desde o tabaco de corte fino aos cigarros, às cigarrilhas, portanto, e que normalmente respondem muito em cada ano em função do estímulo ou do estímulo ou do ataque, deixa-me dizer, que em termos fiscais lhe é aplicado. Portanto, e era para confirmar ou não se de facto esta é a realidade.
Obrigado, Sr. Deputado. Agora sim passaria a palavra.
Si yo puedo contestar sobre la primera pregunta, nos no tenemos datos de producción local o producción fuera de Portugal. Somos fabricantes internacionales y comercializamos en Portugal, más a producción del producto comercializado, tanto en cigarros como en tabaco de corte fino, es feita fuera de Portugal, en fábricas de la Unión Europea. Que nos, de nuestro conocimiento, la única empresa que produce localmente tabaqueira, que es compañía líder en cigarros y que también vende tabaco de corte fino, mas no sabemos de esa producción cuánto es feito o es destinado a un mercado portugués o cuánto va para fuera. También decir que nos tenemos tanto Imperial como JTI tienen un contrato, un licensee agreement en madera y Azores con fabricantes de madera y Azores para producir y comercializar en madera y Azores básicamente cigarros. Los datos, obviamente precisaríamos de información también de Philip Morris para contestar esa pregunta.
Maybe one sentence to add in English here. It's true that PMI, Philip Morris, is owning 60% of the market, but constantly declining the relevance. And it is actually JTI, TI and us and other manufacturers who are growing in this market. Just a side note. Thanks.
With regards to the second question, I think the only thing I would like to add, we would love to have had, as ESTA, a diversified industry with small, medium-sized companies in every country. Unfortunately, more regulation makes it very difficult for small, medium-sized companies to actually survive. And in anticipation of the entry into force of the Tobacco Products Directive, we foresee at least 5 more closures in current markets throughout Europe of factories where the production will be put either outside of the EU or in other countries of the EU more to the east. This is unfortunately very bad for the local or regional economies in which we have our factories. But the companies are of course for profit making and they look very simply, can we still afford to have factories in countries where it is becoming increasingly impossible to cut costs? The Tobacco Products Directive, in my view, will consolidate the industry even further. And in the future, it will actually lead to the disappearance of lots of manufacturing in Europe itself and actually outside of the EU. I hope that companies will remain, at least. Fineco Tobacco, luckily, has still some indigenous factories in the, let's say, more traditional countries, but also these are under threat. I think we will probably in 10 years see a very different manufacturing plan. So unfortunately, coming to the question is why is there this differential between the excise for fine cut tobacco as well as for compared to cigarettes? It's actually those two slides, but it is a historical pattern. It was recognized in the past when the cigarettes started to become popular in the 50s, 40s, 50s, that actually cigarettes were a luxury product compared to the traditional roll-your-own tobacco, and therefore could be taxed at a higher level because they were actually a finished product. Secondly, it was also recognized that those ones who could afford to smoke cigarettes had a higher disposable income, and that therefore the tax-bearing capacity of the people who smoke roll-your-own tobacco was much lower. And at a certain stage, in the late 80s, early 90s, it was codified in legislation and a differential was put in place, as you know, in the current tax directive, excise directive. De facto, there is a two-thirds differential as a minimum tax. Now, that's not in every country the same, and it's not upheld throughout the whole of Europe. But as a rule of thumb, it is very clear to see that in the majority of traditional fine-cut markets, you will see a differential, and quite a substantial one. That the differential has to remain for those markets is very clear, because otherwise it would provoke most likely illicit trade, which they can't afford at the moment. In other markets where fine-cut tobacco is taxed equally, and I think that is the best argument to give, you will see almost no fine-cut sales in that market. Consequently, you will also see a significant illicit trade in that market, not in fine-cut tobacco, but actually in cigarettes, because people go to the illegal cigarettes. The only two markets where we see illicit trade in fine-cut tobacco is the UK and Ireland, where the prices are that high that it is very lucrative to actually be part in this illegal trade market. Actually, in Holland, packaging is intercepted, which is meant for the market of the UK. And we're talking here about a significant problem on our hands. So tax-bearing capacity combined with historical reasons is the reason why there is this differential and why it is, in my view, and in Esther's view, very important to keep it, is from an economic perspective as well as from an anti-illicit trade perspective.
And I would like to take your question up and try to answer it. Your question, as far as I understood it, was related, why do we think the government is currently proposing another tax increase in fine cut? What is the base for taking this proposal? And we believe, looking to the figures here, this is official published data, introduction to consumption in volume. We see this drastic decline of 30% from one year to the other since these huge tax hikes were implemented. What we don't see, though, and this is probably how the government is looking at it in terms of tax revenues, fine cut categories seem to be fine. It is more or less stable, just a slightly decrease this year. So probably someone who proposed this might think, based on the tax revenue figures, there is no issue, we can continue to increase taxes on fine cut. But what you don't see here, actually what is happening, that still today, in November almost of 2014, you can buy 2013 taxed product in the market due to the forestalling. What is happening that every year you are, if there is a tax increase, it is only coming into effect the following year because the industry is allowed, as per forestalling regulation, to introduce a lot of volume taxed in one year, but it lasts actually till the next year. What I mean by this, that you don't see the loss in tax revenues yet, since the 120 euros were proposed, because still we sell 90 euro tax product in the market at a lower price for the consumer. The 120 tax hike from last year will in fact only touch the consumer in the upcoming months, basically from December onwards, the consumer will be punished first time with higher prices. So we expect 2015 to be the year being affected by the 120 euros. So if you then even continue with the 135, it is just getting an extrapolation of the problem. So we believe in 2015, for the first time, we will see a tax decrease in the category of fine cut, mainly due to the forced stalling.
Obrigada. Penso que ficámos todos esclarecidos relativamente às questões da tributação do tabaco em corte fino. Irá ser elaborado um relatório conforme o habitual relativamente a esta audiência, que será depois distribuído por todos os elementos da Comissão de Orçamento e Finanças, de todos os grupos parlamentares, e, portanto, agradeço mais uma vez aos seus representantes desta terem vindo aqui ao Parlamento, apresentarem aqui as suas questões. O Parlamento está sempre portas abertas para escutar quem tem algo a dizer relativamente aos assuntos dos orçamentos de Estado e, portanto, estamos sempre à disposição.